Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, philhenryshow.com. Coming up this weekend, we have Ted Bell and Steve Bozell with the Pro Football Game of the Week. Tomorrow, I am going to be right now on the East Coast. It's Saturday, so it would be today. We're going to be at the L.A. Podfest, and Bobby Dooley will be there. I'll be accompanying her, oddly enough, and she'll be interviewing Graham Elwood, who's the founder of the festival, in her inimitable way. So if you've never seen Bobby, and you want to see her, or at least you want to hear her, or at least you want to see me and hear her, whatever it is you want to do, go to the L.A. Podfest. Now, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you can click on the link. There's a number of them online. You can check it out on Twitter, on Facebook. I think we have a link on our homepage, and it'll tell you where to go for tickets. There's all kinds of information there for parking, as well as the different pavilions and different areas of the venue where you can see your favorite podcasters. And again, you're not being paid. Will you knock it off with the not getting paid thing?
That's a very important thing, and you haven't even addressed it.
You getting paid or not?
What did I tell you guys already?
You said you're not.
I'm not getting paid, no.
And yet they're charging admission. Aha! That proves to me
that they're making money and not paying the guys that are doing the podcast, because the guys that are doing the podcasts are doing them for the promotional value, okay?
Well, that sounds like a real sucker's bet, Phil. I'm sorry to say, but it sounds to me like you're taking it straight in the shorts with a smile on your face, and that makes me question you.
You shut up. I know what the game is, okay?
Excuse me, don't tell me to shut up, please. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. I'm Frank Gray's wife.
That's nice. So what?
Yeah, so what?
You know what? I'm going to the bathroom. I need to move my bowels, and I'm not lighting a match.
What a child, man.
God, Miss Gray!
That's real childish.
No, you guys asked for it.
What a baby.
I'm going to go to the bathroom, move my bowels, and not light a match. So you'd like to repeat it to make me sound like a real ass?
You're the one that said it originally, lady, not me.
Lady, is it?
Yeah, lady.
Okay, Jerry. Hey, lady.
You know something? Forget it. So anyway, yeah, that's tomorrow. And no, I don't care whether I'm getting paid or not, man. You know what? Sometimes a man's got to do what a man's got to do, baby. It's one of my favorite movie lines. It's been in about 15,000 movies, but my favorite film that a man's got to do what a man's got to do is Coogan's Bluff. Speaking of that, if you'd like to know where a lot of the inspiration for our radio show comes from, Bud, you were talking today about that.
Yeah, you got to go on Facebook and take a look at... Excuse me.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, that's Magnum Force. And there's a scene in Magnum Force of Clint Eastwood, and he pulls up next to a carload of gangsters and says, excuse me, we're kind of lost. Can you tell me where San Quentin is? And the gangster driving the limousine looks at him and says, it's back there. Don't you see too good? So those are a couple of, if you listen to the show or you watch us on Facebook, You'll notice that we use those kinds of phrases. We don't... We pay homage to a lot of things. I mean, our thing is...
Well, a lot of people think you rip it off.
Oh, you're back. Well...
Yes, I'm back, and I didn't light a match. So I would suggest you not... Where's he going?
Where are you going, bud?
Gotta make sure it's flush.
Don't go in there, man!
Oh, God! You're kidding me.
I'm only kidding.
Get in here and sit down. So in any event, no, we're not ripping anybody off. We pay homage, baby. You know, homage. That's as in, we've clearly acknowledged that this is an influence. We clearly praise that influence and hold it in such high regard that we use these different lines and these different little segments on our show. All right, now. I thought I'd get into this. This is kind of cool. We got Ted Bell and Steve Bozell coming up after the first break. Twitter has gone public, meaning they have offered shares of their company in what is called an IPO. That's an initial public offering. And on Twitter on Thursday, they filed a regulatory document that contains important details about its business. It's something that you have to do full disclosure, if you will, if you're offering shares of your company to the public. It's the law. But Twitter may not have intended for some of those details to make their way into the public eye. Some of these details, at least according to this news service, the New York Times, may be a little bit on the embarrassing side, or a little bit too invasive, or too probing,
Hey, get a finger up there.
Yeah, it's like the Securities and Exchange Commission has their collective finger up Twitter's collective, you know what? So anyway.
Well, they're giving Twitter a collective prostate exam.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you're the one that's...
I know I started. You're right, I shouldn't. The document that came out on Thursday, called an S-1, was the first public filing to disclose important financial data about the company, like earnings and revenue, as well as other information that might help investors decide if they want to buy this dog or not. Twitter, a dog with a different set of fleas than Facebook... I'm kidding.
Let me see.
No, I'm kidding. I didn't. It's not in there.
Let me see.
No, you don't get to see it, because I said I'm kidding. I'm joking. That doesn't say...
Well, it is kind of a different dog.
Twitter is a dog with a different set of fleas, sure. Anyway, Twitter had already filed 4 earlier versions of this document with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Those versions were not made public at the time. Now, the first, this is called an S-1. The first S-1, which was confidentially filed with the SEC in July, did not contain disclosures that ended up in later versions. It's not clear why the information was added, but it may have been inserted at the commission's request. In the coming weeks, any correspondence Twitter had with the SEC over the earlier S-1s will be made public. Now, Twitter added some eye-opening, potentially helpful disclosures to its later documents. For instance... Excuse me, folks, but I'm coughing. I have to take a sip. I don't know why that is, you know?
Probably got an allergy or something.
It may be an allergy, but my throat gets so dry. We're in California. We have no humidity out here, folks. What we have is just baking heat. And today was a not only a hot day, but today was a windy day. We had wind. I went and got the car washed, and there's no question in my mind that I got to go and get it washed tomorrow because of all the dirt that's been blowing on. All right. In the let's see. For instance, Twitter, it tried to quantify how many of its users might be fake. This is a significant statistic since Twitter's advertisers want to reach real users. In the first 2 S-1s, Twitter discussed the problem of spam and users whose identities are made up, but it was not until the 3rd filing that Twitter estimated that spam or false accounts represent less than 5% of its monthly users. Get a load of that.
Well, I'm glad they're not talking about me, because...
Yeah, well, Margaret Gray, you have an account. Bud, you have an account. Bobby Dooley has an account.
Yeah, Dean Wheeler got one.
Well, Dean and Esmeralda, they have accounts. Thank God they're not fake accounts.
Absolutely.
Word.
Word.
Word. I agree.
All right. Twitter may not have included the number initially because it might have trouble measuring it. In the 3rd S-1, it said the estimate is based on an internal review of a sample of accounts, and we apply significant judgment in making this determination. They have to apply significant judgment because how do you know whether somebody is real or fake? How does Twitter know whether someone is real or fake? If someone makes up an account, Joe Blow, and it doesn't have to be a fake name like that, it'd be like, you know, Harvey Smith or something, something real, and there it is, and how does Twitter know it's fake? See, this is the new media, and these are the new problems that the new media is having in selling the new media to the old advertisers. Twitter also added geographical data that seems significant. One of the questions hanging over social networks is whether they can generate profits outside of the comparatively wealthy and developed United States market. That is, outside of the United States, what is the market like internationally? In its first S-1, Twitter included a metric designed to show how much advertising revenue it takes in based on user activity. The yardstick was for the company as a whole in the first filing. By the 2nd version, it applied the metric to United States advertising and compared it with the rest of the world. The difference was stark. The yardstick was $2.17 per timeline view in the United States versus 30 cents for the rest of the world. Disclosures about the price of advertising on Twitter are also expanded in the second S-1. We'll get into this after the break. But this gives you an idea as to what it was that... even President Obama was referring to this today when he said, you know, the United States is still the center of the world's economy, and if we don't get things going around here, like, hey, how about we get the government going? This affects the rest of the world. Now, I know that people are cynical and they don't, you know, but that's a fact, Jack. Get a load of that. $2.70 per timeline view, which I don't know what that means, but it's opposed to 30 cents. Something ain't good for the rest of the world. Okay, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Again, join us at the Podfest tomorrow. And don't forget, this month is our Halloweeny Pastor William Renick Silver Bullet Special Month, man. You get a backstage pass. We got a goodie. We got a treat to stick in your sack. So check it out at philhenryshow.com. Why you're upcutting that stuff, bud, because it's bugging me, man. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com.
Maybe an upcut.
I don't know why it is, man, but some of those cuts we're using for bumpers are starting halfway through the first beat. It's bugging me. It's bugging me a lot.
Well, Phil, you're going to have to fix whatever's wrong with that machine. I don't think it's Bud's fault at all.
Thank you, Ms. Gray.
You're welcome.
Okay, isn't that nice? We're having a bonding moment here. Terry Glaspilla is joining us from the Social Media Convo in Las Vegas, Nevada, to talk about the numbers that we're seeing here on Twitter. Just let me get my glasses here before we get Mr. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, thank you.
Mr. Glaspilla works as a consultant for a variety of social media networks, as well as individual privately held websites and private social media sites. Let me ask you, what about these numbers? We just heard Twitter announce that first of all, not all of this stuff is all that great. I mean, the United States, the timeline view in the United States, the advertising money, the return on the advertising dollar is far, far and away greater in the U.S. than anywhere else. So you're not exactly, if you're going to advertise on Twitter, you're not looking for an international market. Is that right?
That is exactly right. That seems to be the consensus. That seems to be the information.
Okay, and so what do you say then to your clients?
Well, I would say to them that if they're looking for an international market, or looking for an international response, they're not going to get it on Twitter. You've got, I don't know what the exact number is. There's a number of several hundreds of millions of active users. But they're not people that are leading other users to the advertising trough where they're going to make a difference. And so I tell my clients, without any sugarcoating, I tell them to stay off of the Twitter bandwagon until we get some more information.
What else? So Twitter is not a place that you would recommend putting ad dollars?
Not right now. No, I would not, because based upon those numbers that you just gave, Mr. Henry, what I heard was that Twitter, first of all, the price, the effective cost of ads has fallen 59% from a year earlier period. Now, when the competing social media network Facebook is actually increasing how much it charges advertisers, and Twitter is decreasing what it charges advertisers, and again, the information that you and I are discussing here takes Twitter further and further away from its base user as well because of the complexity of this information. So you're talking to advertisers, you're talking to Twitter. I'm speaking to you, Mr. Henry, and you're speaking to me. But the Twitter user becomes further and further removed from the intellectual discussion, the intelligent discussion of what makes Twitter usable. And you have a sort of Brave New World setup.
Hold on, because we're getting a little fast here.
Yes, we're still you bringing up Brave New World.
All right.
You're saying that we're not just now talking about Twitter's numbers and how they may or may not help advertisers. Now you're talking about the users, right?
Yes, but I'm not talking about the users. I'm not talking about the user experience. I'm talking about the business information that is available. The Twitter user, which tends to be young, not completely educated, it tends to be a female, information, the Twitter business model and the Twitter business reality gets further and further away from the intellectual capacity and ability to comprehend that the Twitter user has. And when I brought up Brave New World, I simply brought up Brave New World for this reason. In the Brave New World scenario, you have the alphas and the betas, which are the highest level intellectually and physically in that futuristic, albeit fantastic society, and the lowest are the deltas and the epsilons. As Twitter releases information that we are capable of discussing and Twitter's advertisers are capable of discussing, but the Twitter user, not the stockholder...
All right, so you're talking about the guy that's got nothing to do with the money other than the fact that he's the one that's making him the money.
That's right. They become the epsilons and the deltas and the elevator operators. They become further and further marginalized in this brave new world of social media until you literally are talking to Twitter advertisers, Twitter technocrats, Twitter media buyers. But the user is an epsilon or a delta, an elevator operator, a garbage man.
So you don't need to dialogue with him at all?
No, that person is irrelevant.
They're irrelevant in terms of the discussion. They're not irrelevant in terms of their use. You want them to keep using, but you certainly don't want to have any conversation with them because it's going to be pointless. There's just, you would be trying to talk across chasms of time, as if you are trying to communicate over epical periods.
Well, you're talking now about something that I don't see anytime soon. You're talking about Twitter and Facebook. You're talking about the minds, the technocratic minds behind these companies and the advertisers and the money being light years beyond the user. Right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, so then what's the point?
Well, there's no point other than to gird ourselves for the inevitable repercussion from these people who will be asking questions such as, why are we not involved in this discussion? And you can't exactly say to them, because you're not capable of understanding. You can't say to them...
Are they not capable of understanding? I mean...
No, they're not capable of understanding because they've been left... the discussion was not held. It was not held at a time and at a place soon enough to acquaint these people with what's happening with Twitter. And I know that where I am right now, Phil, I'm in the hive mind of social media technocracy, ownership, and money. This is where I live. This is where I work. I have nothing whatsoever to do with the users. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with the users because of my own personal failings as a human being. I am a elitist. I consider myself to be smarter and cleaner, more hygienic than these people. I wouldn't want anything to do with them for love or money. And that's why I am at these conventions. That's why I talk to the Twitter people. That's why I try to go to those parties. Otherwise, I'm at home alone. That's the way I like it.
Well, that's a lot of information, isn't it?
It is a lot of information, but I think it's something that's very helpful.
So we're talking here with Terry Gaspilla, who is a social media consultant. He's at the Social Media Convo in Las Vegas. You just said a mouthful there, Terry. You said that...
I'll say.
You said that you don't want to have anything to do with the users of these media, that they're not hygienic.
Not quite. I said that I don't want to have anything to do with their hygiene, whether it's good or bad. I don't want to have anything to do with them physically.
Right. And if that means you're sitting at home by yourself...
That's okay with me.
That's okay with you. All right, Terry, can you hang on?
I don't think my first name is Terry.
I don't. So what do you think?
Well, I think there is, the further we get into this discussion, the more we discover that the man, I think, is disturbed.
Yeah, it sounds disturbed to me.
He sounds disturbed.
Yeah, he sounds disturbed. You talk about, I want to sit at home alone if I can't go to a party where there's people that are technocratic.
Yeah, all right. That's not quite what I heard.
No, Bud's right. He sees the man would rather sit at home alone on a stool in the basement than go out and be with human beings, real human beings.
All right, let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And don't forget, we've got a big month here of free downloads for you, man. We also have a new tier that we're rolling out for our subscribers, our BSPs. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Big weekend of football and the Podfest coming up as well. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got Terry Gaspilla on the line here with us from the Social Media Convo in Las Vegas. We're discussing the initial public offering of Twitter, and actually what we're discussing are the S-1s filed with any initial public offering. These are basically pieces of paperwork. They're required by the SEC to let you, the potential shareholder, the potential share purchaser, know the relative wealth or relative strength, I should say, of the company. Where is it making its money? Where is it selling its product? What are its strong areas? What are its weak areas? Terry, with us on the phone. You just said, Terry, that the divide between what you do and the people you talk to and the regular Twitter user, not the shareholder.
No, not the shareholder at all, and not the shareholder of Facebook either, but this is the regular Twitter user, the regular Twitter face, the regular Facebook user. There's a wide gulf, a wide difference between their involvement and knowledge of the workings of business and the actual working of that business. So, with the continued widening of this gap, you're seeing almost an intellectual class separation. Now, let me be very clear. When Jimmy Kimmel, and this gets to the question of Obamacare and the rest of the health of the economy, when Jimmy Kimmel was on the street asking people their choice between Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, that was a stunt designed to trick and fool people and make them look uninformed. And I think he did a good job of doing that. I resent the fact that people that I know were caught up in that.
Okay, so there's an example of where some of your friends and people that you know who are in the know when it comes to money, they weren't in the know there.
That is right. Now, let me say something, Phil. I believe that Kimmel should release the names of every person he interviewed that made an utter fool of themselves in that segment. Every American that made a choice between the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, not knowing that they were the same thing, and allowed themselves to be put on television and express that opinion, I believe those fools should be made an example of. Their names should be released. And the public needs to know who these people are, because they're an embarrassment to those of us that are trying to hold the line on public spending and at the same time increase the atmosphere of health for business. I know a lot about Twitter, and I know a lot about Facebook. If I don't know a lot about the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, or I think they're two different things, and a guy like Jimmy Kimmel succeeds in making me look like an unbelievable halfwit, a person with a tenuous grip on the healthier functions of the brain, then I'm no good to anyone. I'm no good to myself, and I might as well step in front of a train.
Now, come on, okay?
This has been getting a little bizarre here, Terry.
I'm sorry to shock you. I didn't mean to do. I'm speaking theoretically.
Well, what do you mean step in front of a train? First of all, you were talking about Twitter. being a business that is increasingly more complex and is outpacing the actual user of Twitter to understand it. Now you're talking about Obamacare being bad for business. Next thing you know, you're going to be stepping in front of a train.
And that's because you were on Jimmy Kimmel.
I, thank goodness, was not on Jimmy Kimmel, Margaret, but people I know were on that segment. People that I know were made to look very stupid. We can't afford that. Those of us who are opponents of this kind of government spending cannot afford to then step in front of a camera and be made to look as if we have no right at all. Eating or sitting or talking or sharing any company with normal human beings. We deserve only a cage and a food bowl and the company of primates no higher than a gorilla or an ape, because that's what we did to ourselves in that Jimmy Kimmel segment. I feel very strongly about that.
Terry Gaspilla with us from the social media convo. You got a question, bud?
Yeah, I want to know if you think that if you're literal about spending time with a chimp.
Well, I didn't say chimp. I said ape, but I'm being literal from the standpoint of, if we don't know the difference between Obamacare and the affordable, and we think these are two different things, and we're on television and we allow ourselves to be photographed saying this, we have the entire anti-Obamacare movement has lost all credibility. We look as if we belong on the end of a leash. We don't look as if we belong leading people. We look as if we belong leading our owners as they walk us. I'm being very literal, Phil.
You're just absolutely devaluing the intelligence then of the anti-Obama. Now, how do we get back to Twitter and to Facebook and all of this?
Because Twitter and Facebook are two places where the battle is being fought. The battle on healthcare is being fought. And Twitter and Facebook, the trenches, that is the intellectual power of Twitter and Facebook, is diminishing exponentially by the second. By the end of this conversation, to give you an example, Phil, if we started this conversation and the average user of Twitter was a some kind of futuristic man from an advanced society, say, 6 or 7 centuries into the future, to the point where his cranium was larger than a human's. If we started this conversation and the average Twitter user was that advanced, by the end of the conversation, we would be talking about someone with a diminished skull capacity, a Neanderthal, or perhaps someone with a microcephalic malady. Someone who is male, but wears a dress, has their hair pulled up a la a palm tree on the top of their head.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. You're being extremely graphic.
And I also think very insensitive. I'm not sure where you're going with this.
No, I don't mean to be insensitive. I'm saying that
if we started this conversation, the average Twitter and Facebook user was an advanced humanoid from another planet. By the end of it, they'd all be wearing a dress.
But would be a diminished capacity mentally. That's what's going on right now. That's what's going on right now.
Terry Gaspilla at the social media convo in Las Vegas. The other thing you said was that that Obamacare and this Affordable Care Act, in other words, the Jimmy Kimmel bit where he asked people which they preferred, the people that were expressing their distaste for the one or the other showed themselves to be completely stupid, and therefore the movement is undermined. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because if I could just say, Phil.
Go ahead.
What you're saying there, Terry, is that the anti-Obamacare movement was very tragically hurt by the Jimmy Kimmel bit.
Oh, there's no question, because I talked to people that had been interviewed by Kimmel and his crew, and I got home, I had at least a half a dozen messages on my machine from people that said, and every one of them started with, Kimmel, I just talked to Kimmel, you probably heard the news. I won't be into work tomorrow, I just got interviewed by Kimmel. And I called these people back, and I said, did you give out your name? And a lot of them said yes. So there's no question that the names of these people that made asses of themselves on the Jimmy Kimmel Show will be public in short order here over the next few days. And then the party's really going to start. The Tea Party people will have a field day, and I mean they'll have a field day, taking us apart brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail, until there's nothing left of us but the figurative robotic parts of what once was a very proud Tea Party movement, and we've been taken apart, humiliated in front of the American people, and left crying on a dirt road in the middle of the night.
All right.
Hello.
Yes, sir. We're right here. That's quite a statement.
Well, I'm trying to keep it real, as the kids say, and this is what awaits the Tea Party. We are going to be nothing more than someone with their pants pulled down, laying on a dirt road in the middle of the night, with a wolf howling, and suddenly the lights of a police car pulling up.
And no clue as to what happened.
All right, good luck, Terry, with what's happening in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
I like every interview we do in this show, I don't know whether how much of that is usable, how much of that, as they say in the intelligence game, is actionable, and how much of it is just mental illness, you know?
That sounded like he was going between mentally ill and saying good stuff, then he'd be crazy.
Yeah, I think what he said about how, you know, like, the Twitter users are idiots and stuff is probably right, but then the rest of it is probably wrong.
Well, I don't know, but I don't think... I would be interested to know who these people are.
Well, he said the names of the people that were giving... that we're giving these ridiculous opinions to Jimmy Kimmel, they will be made public in the next few days. And then he said the party really gets interesting, because then he said the Tea Party will be left on a dirt road crying in the middle of the night with a wolf howl and cricket. I don't know. Too much information. World famous Phil Henry Show. It just gets kookier, man. That's the thing. It doesn't get less kooky. It gets more kooky. World famous Phil Henry Show here. Our number 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Hey, don't forget to visit our online store. The Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirts are in. We've got them restocked. We've got all sizes are in, baby. People are over there buying them, and I mean buying them by the carload. So you better get over there and get your Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirt, because they will sell out again. Yes, we will restock them, but that takes a while, so might as well get a hold of them right now at philhenryshow.com, our online store.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Steve Bell here, and I'm going to be with Steve Bozell here in a moment. We're going to tell you about our game of the week, but remember, Ted's of Beverly Hills is the place to go for a thick, juicy, tender steak, that all-day prime rib.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, we got Ted Bell and in a kind of unusual spot. Ted and Steve, they're down at the Temple City Pool Hall in Temple City, California, far away from Ted's in Beverly Hills. Relaxing, huh, Ted?
You know something, Phil? I said to Steve, listen, we've got a big weekend. We've got we're back on our game of the week. And I said, let's go down, relax, let's shoot a game of pool. Steve Bozell is here. Steve, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a very interesting game, Phil. It's going to be a very interesting game.
Hey, the pool game? No, I'm talking about
talking about football.
No, but the pool game.
A pool game, I don't know.
One of the things I'm having to teach Steve is it's not called a poo game, it's called pool, and when he's on the radio with you, Phil, I don't know whether it's...
No, he's saying it okay.
I told you I'm saying pool, poo. No, you can't hear him saying poo game.
No, it sounds like pool.
Well, no, it doesn't, because... Say it again.
Look,
just say it again.
Poo game.
See, you didn't hear him say poo game.
I heard it then.
Well, which is it? You know, all I'm doing here, Phil, and I think the fans would understand, I'm trying to get us all on the same page. I'm trying to make us all part of the same team.
I'm Ted Bell. He's Steve Bozell. We're going to be bringing you to the ball game. I wanted to mention one thing before you were talking here a moment ago, I think, about Harvey Wireman was, I think, on, and he was discussing with you the Jim Cramer. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I just saw something here on the tube here in the pool hall, and it's two guys that are twins. One guy has a beard and the other guy doesn't. And these guys are investors. These guys are Wall Street guys. And it really, it disturbed me. It disturbed me greatly. And I wondered if you knew who they were.
They're twins, huh?
I don't know. I didn't ask you, Steve. You're a great color man, and I love you. But I'm not asking you about money. So forget it. Ask me about money. I'm not asking you about... I'm asking you, Phil, do you know who they are?
Who are you talking... The two guys...
The two guys that are twins.
I don't know.
Have you seen them?
Yes, I have. They are two brothers. They must be brothers.
Well, if they're twins, they got to be brothers, don't they?
If they're twins, they could be two guys that just look alike.
Oh, yeah, come on. No, no. These two guys are so similar that if these are two guys that are not blood relations, but they just happen to look this way, then I'm telling you, one of them's been cloned off the other. And I don't think that's the case.
They have done a lot of things because they just want to get in here.
Don't grab the phone from me, though, Steve. Don't ever do that.
Can I get in there?
All right. You're getting too close to me like you want to kiss me. Then give me the phone.
Give him the phone, then, man, if you don't want him that close to you.
Here.
Phil, I want to say that they have cloned. They do clone, and they have clones. And there are clones that walk among us. We don't know to the degree and to the extent. I do not think that these two Wall Street advisors are clones. I think that would blow the lid right off the American economy. People were going off and getting advice on finances from clones or clone brothers, and I don't think anyone would be able to deal with that. I think it's just too... Can I have the phone back now?
Yeah.
All right, see, that's what happens when you let him get in, and...
Well, why is his commentary any less valuable than yours? I didn't hear you say anything. In fact, I don't even know why we're talking about cloned financial advisors. I thought we were talking about football.
We are talking about football, but I'm here trying to relax with Steve Bozell at the Temple City Pool Hall, and this ad came on the TV. So while I'm trying to relax, they've got two clones that are trying to sell me futures. You understand?
Well, you didn't say they're clones. You said they're twins.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. They're two twins, but they could be. I don't know if they're clones.
All right, so what's the problem with that? I don't understand.
What's the problem with that? Boy, you're something else, man.
Okay, let me have the phone. I'll hold it.
Okay, Bill, look at Bozell. Don't get up next to me like you want to neck with me, okay?
And give me the phone.
Let him have the phone.
Here.
Phil, I think you're right. I think we got sidetracked. I don't think just because they're twins, who cares? I could give a sweet GD whether we got twins that are giving us financial advice or it's a clone. Whether it's a clicker that's in rapport with my sister, you know. And what are you talking about now? I'm sorry. Give me the phone. You see, what's happened now is Bozell gets so nervous he starts quoting science fiction movies.
Okay, thanks very much.
Oh, come on, man. It's not my...
So Steve Bozell and Ted Bell will be doing the play-by-play of the Game of the Week on Sunday. Starts at 1:30 on Phil TV. Don't miss it.
What are they talking about in terms of the clone?
There's two guys on TV that are twins. They give financial advice. One has a beard, one doesn't. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Bell thought it was disturbing, and he didn't want to see it. He was trying to relax over a pool game, and the next thing you know, he's looking at these two guys that look alike, and it disturbed him. He wanted to know if they were twins. I said, I imagine they are. He said, well, isn't it possible that they're clones? And I said, I don't think so. Then Bozell came on and said, yeah, it was. And so that's where we lost control of that. And, you know.
Yeah, you gotta get control over the show.
Oh, don't give me that crap about getting control over the... I got control over the show, okay? I got plenty of control over the show. Just a couple of other things. I don't want to make sure that we... Because I was pulling some stuff off of the internet, if you'll pardon the expression, pull. I was pulling some stuff off the internet here tonight that was very interesting. One of them was I don't want to piss anybody off. But I think they were referring to it there a moment ago, that guy Terry Gaspilla, when he was talking about that whole Jimmy Kimmel bit. I mean, doesn't that tell you something?
Well, I think a Tea Party person is going to say it was dirty pool, that Jimmy Kimmel pulled a stunt. He pulled a trick.
Well, what trick? What trick did he pull? All he did was illustrate how stupid some people are, okay?
Yeah, because only stupid people were Tea Party.
Well, look, man, he asked a question, and he asked a question, and he did not force anybody into any mindset over the question. He just asked a simple question. Now, yes, obviously, it was designed to make anyone that didn't understand the law look stupid. And a lot of people did look stupid. But I don't think that it was anything that you could call manipulative. Because, look, either you understand that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same thing or you don't. If you don't, then you don't have information. If you don't have information, you haven't been paying attention. And if you haven't been paying attention, then you got no right, really, to talk about it. Because that's the bottom line. People are weighing in with all kinds of passionate opinions about all kinds of things, and their asses don't understand a bloody thing about any of it. Okay? Yeah, okay. All right, guys, we will see you on Monday. If we don't see you before then, we're going to be back here Monday night at 7 on the Pacific Coast, at 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Tomorrow we're at the L.A. Podfest. We got Steve and Ted on Phil TV on Sunday afternoon. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Man, it is hot out here in at the El Pacifico. Hot, windy, dirty, nasty. It's fantastic. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Margaret, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, and our guests. See y'all later.